If you have a Bible, would you turn to Mark chapter 4? Mark chapter 4. If you have a Bible and you don't know where that is, it's the second half of your Bible. That's called the New Testament, Matthew and Mark. It's the second book of the New Testament. And then go to Mark chapter 4, and we should have on the screen the words to the chapter. But I want to issue somewhat of a warning at the beginning of this. Really, and we'll get into this warning a little bit more this morning. But as you turn to Mark chapter 4, understand this is a passage that is demanding your attention this morning. Maybe you came here with tons of distractions and you came here, or maybe somebody drugged you here and said, we're going to church whether you want to go or not. Can I tell you this, that we believe at First Baptist Church that this is the inspired Word of God, that God actually gave us these words for a purpose. And He's demanding your attention this morning to listen to what this passage says. As a matter of fact, right in the middle of the passage, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so I want to ask a special favor of you this morning. If you're someone who doesn't frequent our church, would you give special attention to the preaching of this morning's message? And just keep alert. We're going to be out of here in the next 30 or 40 minutes, and then you can go on with what you're doing. But this particular passage in the new year, 2018, demands our attention. And so I want to read just the beginning portion of this. We'll actually go through verse 25, but Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the words for those of you who don't have a Bible will be on the screen. It says this, he began to teach again by the sea. That's talking about Jesus. And such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it out, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell on the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he was saying to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father God, I pray one simple prayer this morning. Help us to listen attentively to your word. Give us, as Jesus just said, ears to hear what you would say to us this morning. And we ask this simple prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to do something that I don't always do. I want to give you up front the point of the passage. This can be a little bit confusing if you've never read or heard a parable preached, that Jesus is giving us something about the agricultural world, and maybe we're scratching our head, but I want to get you the theme up front so that you understand it, and then we'll zero in on that theme. Here's the big idea of this passage. What we do with the Word of God, or the Gospel, which is the story of Jesus coming and living a sinless life and resurrecting after he was crucified on the cross, what we do with that when it's preached to us reveals the condition of our heart. And I'm not talking about the heart that pumps blood throughout your body. I'm talking about your spiritual heart. Now, how do I know that this morning? Well, the point of the parable is this: as the seed is sown on the ground and the seed gets into the soil, it reveals the condition of the soil. And so here's the big question that's being asked in this. When I said this is a passage that requires and demands our attention, here's what's going on in this passage. is Jesus is wanting you to examine what kind of spiritual soil you have in your heart. And so that's the upfront thing. And maybe since I said that, you'll say, okay, now I'll listen. Now I'll listen. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you three things this morning that will help us to outline verses 1 through 25, and then we're going to unpack those as we go along. So chapter 4, verses 1 through 9 is the parable. We just read it. It's a story that Jesus says that's very straightforward about seeds and soil. So that's verses 1 through 9. And then in verses 13 through 20, which we didn't read, Jesus gives the explanation of the parable. Jesus' disciples are going to come to Him, ask Him about the parable, and to our benefit this morning, Jesus is going to explain the parable to them. Now, this is where I said we need to really, really listen. There's also, at the end of chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, there's a special warning about the parable. Jesus is going to tell His disciples something about this parable that gives you and I a warning this morning. And so let's look at those three sections together. First, the parable in chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, is a straightforward parable that really starts in verse 3. And I want you to see the straightforward nature of it. Jesus said, "Listen to this." Here He is again calling for our attention. "Behold, the sower went out to sow." Now, in our day, we have farm equipment. Chance, I know, farms, and sometimes I'll see maybe a video of him or a picture of him, and he's in a tractor. And if I'm not mistaken, Chance, that has air conditioning, right? Okay. This was not the case in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, a man would sling a bag over his shoulder. That bag would be full of seed, and he would go out and he would grab that seed and he would cast that seed wherever he went. Jesus' disciples would be familiar with this. And Jesus tells us at the beginning of verse 4, as this man goes out to sow, notice He says, as he was sowing. Naturally, something happens if a man has seed slung over his shoulder and he's casting that seed everywhere. That seed is going to land on various kinds of soil. And so Jesus is going to describe to us the condition of those four soils. And that's the reason in this parable that we understand that the seed being dropped on the soil reveals the condition of the soil. So in this first soil, verse 4, Jesus is going to describe to us the hard soil. Notice what Jesus says. As He was sowing, some seed fell beside the road. Any of you who live close to us or have known us for any time know that we have a 2-year-old or 2-year-old plus lab named Rocky. Now Rocky, the entire time that we've had him, has had the same routine every time we leave the house. And I don't know if he can hear the tires of the car from like a mile away, but Rocky, when we pull up to the driveway, will be waiting at the edge of the driveway for us, and the kids and I always say the same thing. Okay, here goes Rocky's routine. Rocky runs through the cedar trees, he runs to the bottom of the hill, and then he comes back up, ears pinned back, he comes back up and then in front of the car. Now the reason I tell you this is because where Rocky has run for these 2+ years, there's a path that's been beaten down by his little paws, well, his huge paws, and it's just packed dirt. And when I mow right beside it, and it's this packed dirt that comes up the trail. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is when Jesus said this seed fell along the road, Jesus is actually talking about a footpath that's been beaten down by the farmers who went out to cast the seed. There weren't fences in Jesus' day, and so as they would walk these footpaths, it would beat it down, and naturally, some of the seed would fall there. Now, Jesus tells us, interestingly, about the destiny of that particular soil and that seed. Notice what He says in the remainder of verse 4. He says, as He was sowing, some of the seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Didn't even stand a chance. Never had a chance to get a root in. The path is beaten down. It stays on top, and the birds snatch it away. Now, in verse 5, Jesus is going to tell us about a second soil. We're going to call this the shallow soil. Look at verse 5. It says, other seed fell on the rocky ground where it didn't have much soil. Now, you may be reading this and think that Jesus is describing a soil that's really rich and dark, and mixed in it is some rock that we need to remove. That's not the case. Jesus is actually talking about soil that only has a few inches of depth, and underneath it is a bedrock of limestone. And Jesus says, in that particular kind of soil, it's really hard for the seed to take root, because here's what happens. He tells us, immediately it springs up because it had no depth of soil, and after the sun has risen, it was scorched because it had no root. And what happens to it? It, as a result of this, withers away. So there's the second type of soil. And then the third type of soil, verse 7, is what we're going to call the crowded soil. Look at verse 7. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it out, and it yielded no crop. Now, this soil that Jesus is describing here is a soil sharing its territory with something other than the seed. And what it's sharing its territory with is something extremely strong: thorns. And as a matter of fact, the thorns are so strong that it says it actually choked out everything else that was there with it. And so as a result of this, it yielded no crop. Now the final soil is verse 8, what we're just going to call the good soil. Other seeds fell into the good soil. Now remember what I said at the beginning of this? I was going to give you the answer at the beginning. How do we know that it's good soil? Because of how it reacted to the seed. Notice what it says here. It grew up, it increased, and it yielded a crop. Now, that crop was various sizes, 30, 60, and 100-fold, but we know that the soil was good because it's the only one that yielded a crop. This is the parable that Jesus gives us. Now, if I were to leave you here, and you're a guest here today with us, and you went home and they say, what did Pastor Greg speak about today? And you said, well, he talked about seeds and soil. Well, what was the point of that? Well, I'm not really sure. If we were to leave this here, we might all be scratching our heads and say, what is the point of Jesus telling this particular parable? But by the grace and providence of God, Jesus' disciples ask this question for us. They tell Jesus that they're a little bit confused about the parable. And so Jesus gives them an explanation. And he gives them an explanation literally of every aspect of the parable. Everything that Jesus just said, he's going to give a real life example of what it means. And so look at verse 14. We didn't cover this in our reading, but Jesus is going to tell us what the seed is. Notice there in verse 14 it says, the sower sows the word. So that seed in that bag for Jesus, he says, represents the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if you want to write these in the margin of your Bible, Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, the same parable there says that Jesus goes out and sows the word of the kingdom. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it says, the seed is the Word of God. Now, here's something that I want you to hear and hear clearly. You may have been convinced by Bible teachers or maybe just your own understanding of the Scriptures that Jesus' primary job when he was here was to go out and hang out with poor people and sick people and blind people and hang out with the sinners, which Jesus did. But his primary purpose was to sow the Word of God into the world in which he was in. And do you know that in Mark chapter 16, Jesus said the disciples were to have the same habits as Jesus did, that they were going all the world and preach the gospel, sow the Word of God into the world around them. And you and I have the same calling. We are to sow the Word of God wherever we find ourselves. But I want to make you one assurance as you do that. As we sow, we can be sure of one thing. It will not always hit good soil. Just as the sower went out to sow and he sowed the seeds and it didn't all hit good soil, just as Jesus and his disciples went out to sow and he sowed on the ground that word of God, it didn't always hit good soil. In the same way, when you and I sow the word of God, it won't always hit good soil. That's why there's always different reactions when the word of God is preached. Some people in the New Testament gnashed their teeth in anger when the word was preached. And some people broke down in repentance and asked God for forgiveness. That is the explanation of the sower and the seed. Now Jesus, from verse 15 down to really verse 24, is going to do a favor. He's going to tell us what those soils represent. And listen closely what they represent. Those soils in the first nine verses represent various conditions of human hearts. I want to tell you the first one is in verse 15, and it's what we're going to call the hard heart. Look at verse 15 with me. It says, these are the ones, right? The sower goes out to sow the seed or the word, and these are the ones who beside the road where the word of God is sown. This is the hard heart. Right? This is the heart that's not going to receive the word of God. Now listen closely to what happens to that seed when it falls on hard soil. Verse 15, and immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. I've been in youth ministry. I've been in pastoral ministry. And Gretchen and I have had the opportunity through various things to preach in the state of Oklahoma. I've preached in various churches, even as a minister here, to go out and preach in churches. And I'm going to tell you something that I see on Sunday after Sunday when I preach. Not necessarily here, okay? So don't feel uncomfortable as I say this. But preaching in youth ministry and preaching in various churches, there's always that one person who has their arms folded and a scowl on their face. And I know they're not hearing anything that I say. And do you know what happens to me when I see that? It's not that my ego shattered that they're not listening to me. I fear for that person. And here's why I fear for that person. Because it's describing the very person that Jesus described in verse 15. The hard heart. Jesus said there are times that the word of God is sown and people simply will not listen. And you may be here today and you may be the person saying, rev it up, Pastor Greg. I've got more important things to do this morning. Jesus said there are hearts that are that way. Verse 16, Jesus gives us another condition of the heart. Look at it with me. We're going to call this the shallow heart. Verse 16 says, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear it, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. So here's a person who likes what they hear. They receive it with joy, but something happens. The seed doesn't last. The roots don't last. And here's why. There's no depth. And why is there no depth? Well, Jesus is going to tell us why there's no depth in this verse. He says, they, meaning these people with shallow hearts, have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, listen to what he says, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word of God, immediately they fall away. This is a person who has a temporary experience with God. They're joyful. They say, really, this is what I want. But as soon as the heat gets turned on, and did you know what the persecution, did you notice what it was regarding here? Because of the word. A warning to you college students. You may have been here in youth ministry and been excited about the word of God and then go to college and find out that discipleship is something costly. And you find out, right, the condition of the soil of your heart by the way that you react to the Word of God. If we preserve it and we hold on to it, or we reject it because it's too costly. Jesus talks about the shallow heart. And then verses 18 and 19, the crowded heart. You might write this in the margin of your Bible, the divided heart. The divided heart. Verse 22, notice what Jesus says here. Or verse 18, rather. He says, others are the ones whom on the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. Notice what's crowding their heart out. What's crowding the word of God out. But the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, you just underline these as we go, and the desires for other things enter in, and notice what happens. They choke out the word. And here's the scary part. It becomes unfruitful. Would you look at Sean? Sean, would you turn 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10? Just maybe write this down in the margin of your Bible. Look at this verse with me for just a moment. For Demas, this is one of Paul's companions, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas was someone who was useful to Paul, but he had a divided heart. What was his divided heart? He loved the present world. He wanted to avoid suffering. He wanted to have the pleasures of the world. And he says Demas was someone following hard after God, but this got him off track. When I was a young believer in Jesus Christ, just a lay person in the church, and I've told this story before, there was a man that I rode around with at work, shared the gospel with him, made a profession of faith, and I had the opportunity to baptize him. And I can remember sitting in his church, in his car, and just question after question about the Bible, and the best of my ability, I would answer these questions. And Gretchen and I didn't have kids. We just lived over in South Oklahoma City, and he would call at night, and I mean for an hour we would talk about the Scriptures, just zealous for the Word of God. And then I remember having another conversation in his truck, and he was mapping out for me a business plan. He wanted to start his own business. And I noticed as that business started to take off that his church attendance got less and less frequent. And I noticed that the more this business succeeded, the less the phone calls came regarding the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, do you realize this isn't just a parable that Jesus is teaching us? This is a reality check about the condition of our hearts. Jesus says you're going to know the condition of the soil by the reaction it has to the seed. And in the same way, we're going to know the condition of our hearts, that when we hear the Word of God preached, we're going to have a certain reaction to the Word of God when it's preached. Now Jesus gives a final soil. It's called the fruitful soil or the fruitful heart. Notice in verse 20 and 21, Jesus says, "And those are all the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil." And how do we know this? Because of the reaction it has. Here it is. They hear the word. They not only hear it, but they accept it, and they bear fruit. That's the key. Right? Everybody else heard the word of God, but it never came to the place of bearing fruit. And I want to say this for some of you who have been walking with the Lord some time now. Some of you may be bearing 100-fold fruit. And you look at somebody bearing 30%, you question their salvation. Understand this. As long as there's a reaction to the Word of God and there's fruit being born, we can say this is good soil. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Jesus says, we know the condition of the human heart by how it reacts to the preaching of God's Word. Now, the warning. I told you this morning, we were building up to this moment. I said it from the very beginning of the message. There is a warning that is calling to us and crying out to us to listen to what Jesus is saying. And it's issued in verse 10. right? Look at verse 10. This is the warning, and the warning is actually implied and embedded in this passage. It says, as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, this is away from the big crowds, begin asking him about the parable. Now, there's something you need to understand. This parable exists in three different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And every time this parable is told, we see this instance where Jesus comes and his disciples pull him apart, right? They pull him apart from the crowds, and they ask him a question. It's not necessarily clear what the question is here in Mark's gospel, but it is very clear in Matthew's gospel. Let me have you turn over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew is the book right before Mark. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Hold your place in Mark's gospel. And here's the question. This is the clarifying question the disciples want to know when the Word of God is preached. Here it is. And the disciples came and said to him, right after this instance, right? Same parable told. His disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them, the crowds, in parables? Why do you speak to them in parables? Now, Jesus is going to answer them, and I don't want you to look at his answer yet. I want you to take your eyes up here for just a minute, because I want to tell you what you're probably thinking or what you've probably been taught. I remember hearing at a church growth conference one time, the reason that Jesus preached in parables is because he wanted to dumb down the message, and he wanted everybody to understand it. And the point that this pastor was trying to make is, we need to preach like Jesus. We need to bring it down to people's level, use real life examples that they can understand, kind of bring it down to a level where they can really grasp it, and then they'll understand the Word of God. Does everybody agree that that sounds very, very feasible? Nobody agrees with me. Okay, you can all go home. It sounds feasible, but can I tell you this morning, that's the actual polar opposite observation that Christ makes about preaching parables. Jesus Christ actually says that he's preaching parables so that people won't understand. Oh, what? I thought Jesus wanted everybody to understand the Word of God. Now, if I've got your attention, this is where the warning comes in. I want you to see something here. It says, when they came and asked him about the parables, and he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, they get everything in parables. Now, I want you to circle in verse 12 two words in your Bible. I must be in the wrong verse, or you're in the wrong translation. Oh, yeah, Sean, I'm sorry. Back to chapter 4. Back to chapter 4 and verse 12. I want you to underline something in your Bible. Here's what I want you to underline. These two words at the beginning of this Old Testament quote, the two words, so that. In the Greek language, this is called a henna clause, H-I-N-A. And it denotes, most often, purpose. Now, this is so confusing that Jesus would actually say, I'm preaching in parables so that, or for this purpose, so that they won't understand. And it's so confusing to commentators that they'll take the henna clause and they'll say, now these are five possibilities of what Jesus is actually saying. Because nobody wants Jesus saying, I don't want people to understand. And so we all walk around scratching our heads. But here's what I want you to see. There is a warning embedded in those two words. This week, I received something in the mail that I'd been waiting for. And if you've ever been in my office, you know that I have 66 volumes of Charles Spurgeon. And then I have the volumes after the 66 volumes. And then I have the Lost Sermons of Spurgeon. And then Gretchen and I went to the Southern Baptist Convention and I got a Spurgeon bobblehead. And this week, right? About a month ago, they published the Spurgeon Study Bible. And so I ordered it, and I thought, I want to go over and see if Spurgeon agrees with me. Because I was reading the commentators, and I'm going to tell you, I was more confused than you are right now, talking about this two words, so that. And I want to read you what Spurgeon said, and I want to tell you that Spurgeon and I align perfectly. Listen to what Spurgeon says. It is an awful thing when God gives people up to the spiritual blindness and dullness and hardness. But it does happen. If you hear the word of God and you refuse to receive it, you do, to that extent, harden your heart. And if you continue to do so, you will by degrees lose the capacity for understanding the word. Many people are not aware of the solemn responsibility of hearing the gospel and the terrible peril of having our ears made dull and our hearts made hard. And then he goes on to say this. Preachers are responsible for preaching faithfully, but we are equally responsible for hearing what is preached. They might have come to Jesus, even as his disciples did, and asked him questions, and he would have explained the truth to them. We should all tremble for those who hear the word and do not receive it and yet remain content. And this is what he said. That is the worst state of all for anyone to be in. Brothers and sisters, hence the warning. How you receive the Word of God tells us and tells you something about the condition of your heart. And if you are a person who is obstinate when the gospel is preached, or obstinate when there's an opportunity to hear the Word of God preached, then these words in verse 12 become true of you. Listen to what Jesus says. Seeing, they may not see and perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. Would you close your Bibles this morning? And I want to ask you a question as we close. What kind of soil are you? Maybe there is someone in your life who has preached the gospel to you over and over again and said you need to turn to Jesus for forgiveness of sins, and your arms are crossed and you've got a scowl on your face. You know what Jesus says? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Someone here today may be like my friend who you say, when I hear the Word of God, I like what I hear, but I have so many other things crowding my heart right now, and they're just taking the priority, and it never has an opportunity to take root. I want to tell you what Jesus says. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I want to say something to you today. If you're someone who's here and you just say, I don't want to hear what God has to say. Right? My wife drugged me, or my husband drugged me, and I don't want anything to do with this. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the gospel, what the Word of God says. And then I want to give good news. That if you're here today and you love the Word of God and you've responded to the gospel and you've started to bear fruit in your life, continue to hear the Word of God. Would you stand with me this morning?